Welcome to True Talk on WMNF 88.5 with Ahmed and Samar. This is the True Talk podcast show, but also the radio show here at WMNF in Tampa, Florida. This is actually a live show today, so I'll be taking some phone calls later. If you're listening to the podcast online at a later time, you won't be able to call in, but you can always email us at truetalk@wmnf.org. While we're on the air, you can email dj@wmnf.org. It's the second week of Ramadan. Ramadan is the holy month for Muslims, where they fast for the entire month from during daylight hours for 30 days. Every day, abstaining from eating and drinking until sunset. So that's what I'm observing right now. So if I sound a little tired, low energy, it's because I'm fasting. I haven't eaten anything for hours or drank anything. So we'll be talking more about Ramadan. Of course, what's happening in Gaza, devastation continues. And they are no longer on the brink of famine. Famine is already there. It's an ongoing catastrophe, all happening because of Israel's war on Gaza, which many people have said is a genocide. The United Nations has said it's a plausible genocide. I think it's a genocide. It's pretty obvious if you look at the images and the numbers and what's happening there. So we'll be speaking also about that and also taking your phone calls at 813-239-9663. This is True Talk on WMNF. I'll be right back.
We're here on this special day. Our hearts are full of pleasure. A day that brings the two of you close together. We're gathered here to celebrate a moment you'll always treasure. We ask Allah to make your love last forever. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And with one voice, let's all say, say, say. Share all your joys through hardship, support each other. Together worshiping Allah, seeking His pleasure. We pray that He will fill your life with happiness and blessings, and grant you kids who make your home filled with laughter. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And
Welcome back. This is Ahmed Bedir. I'm the host of the True Talk radio show, also the True Talk podcast, which you can find on any of the streaming platforms, whether it's Apple or Spotify or others. Just search for True Talk and WMNF and it should come up. There's an ongoing attack by Israel on Gaza's largest and almost the only hospital that's still functioning in Gaza, which is called Al-Shifa Hospital. Israel has ordered Palestinians to evacuate Al-Shifa Hospital, threatening to blow up the largest medical complex in the Gaza Strip if they do not. This is the latest, just 4 minutes ago. On this reporting, I'm reading from the Al Jazeera website. Also, 1 million, there's a headline here that 1 million children are facing daily traumas in Gaza, according to UNRWA, which is the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees. They say that 1 million children are, quote, are facing daily traumas that leave their mothers worried about their future and very survival. Of course, I mean, with the ongoing bombardment, and now it's been in, you know, months happening daily. There are bombs, there are airstrikes, there are fighter jets hovering the small enclave. I mentioned this before, that Gaza is basically the size of St. Petersburg. And imagine 2.3 million people living in St. Petersburg. And now the majority of them, 2 million of them, are crammed in the southernmost part of Gaza, which would be like the southernmost part of St. Petersburg, Florida. That is, and now those people are under threat of being attacked and invaded. So if you imagine the area there in Gaza, Gaza is the Arabic pronunciation of Gaza. And the it's a small strip. They started from the top, from the north, and kept bombing and telling people to evacuate south, continue to evacuate south. Then they moved to the middle of Gaza. And then they attacked the, you know, central Gaza. Then they moved to, you know, south, central areas of Gaza, area called Khan Yunis and surrounding areas. Then they started attacking that. Now they've been pushed all the way to the southernmost part of the enclave. And there's nowhere left to go. To the south is the Egyptian border, which is closed. And to their west is the Mediterranean Sea. And to their east is the huge wall, security wall, that's been erected by Israel. Israel's on the other side. They have them all trapped in. There's nowhere to go. And they keep threatening that they're going to invade so they can finish the job. But if you actually look at what's happening everywhere they've invaded, they've really just been leveling the place. So once they keep pushing people out, pushing them more south, then they go in and they detonate. They actually, it's not just bombing from the air. They actually go into buildings, go into infrastructure, and put, you know, dynamite or other explosives. And they blow up huge apartment buildings, infrastructure, residential buildings, office buildings, whatever structure is there. Then they come in with heavy machinery and bulldozers to actually bulldoze the roads, like the actual asphalt, and they remove it. So there are no more roads. What used to be changing the entire, like leveling the place back to just being dirt and rubble. Of course, the bombardment has also caused the death, the murder, the killing of tens of thousands of civilians. And many of them, majority of them, are women and children. They also say that thousands are continue to be under the rubble. Thousands of Palestinian civilians continue to be under the rubble, because when these airstrikes happen, they happen at all, you know, times of the day and night. Sometimes people are sleeping and the whole building collapses on them. Some people are able to get away. People are killed. Others are buried alive. And they can't get to them. They don't have the machines to unearth or clear out the rubble to be able to save people, or to even retrieve the bodies of their loved ones so they can have a proper closure and burial. Just people that have been there have, you know, reported that the smell of death is everywhere. And it's just unacceptable that this is happening. This is not happening during World War II. This is happening now. This is happening right now in 2024, while the entire world is watching what's happening, because we know it's happening and we're watching it because it's live streamed. People have mobile phones, cell phones. They're able to upload these images. Sometimes it's live. Sometimes it's just recorded and posted online on Instagram. Of course, these very same social media networks that have allowed people to share, for everyone to become a, you know, freelance journalist or citizen journalist, people have also now, you know, people in power are concerned that these images are getting out, especially Israel and their pro-Israel networks, pro-Israel lobby, and they want to shut down these networks. They're trying to censor as much as possible. Social media networks like Facebook and Twitter and even TikTok to some extent are doing a practice of what's called shadow banning. They either ban, which means they limit, somehow they limit the exposure of these posts. So somebody that has thousands of followers or hundreds of thousands or even millions of followers, all of a sudden very few people see the posts that are related to Gaza. Then if the person continues, they actually give them warnings that, you know, they'll suspend their account. And if they persist, they actually can ban or will ban the account completely. And it's happened so many times. And that's on top of just deleting posts that they deem unnecessary. Now, you know, these social media networks, which are known to somehow justify or not justify, but allow hateful anti-black or racist posts or content, they have zero tolerance for anything that shows the genocide that's happening in Palestine. Trying to shut down any type of exposure and silence people from criticizing Israel. The latest, of course, is this: the U.S. Congress, the U.S. House voting to ban TikTok if it does not splinter off or is sold off to an American company. TikTok, which is owned by ByteDance, is actually, which started in China, the TikTok International, which includes the United States and everywhere, is basically now headquartered in Singapore, which is not China. It's owned by a Singapore company, but it's not within the United States and not under the control of the United States. And during Trump's time, you know, there were talks about banning TikTok because they're they were concerned about Chinese influence and China manipulating American public opinion. However, that did not actually succeed during that campaign or during when they were trying to do that back then. And what's different this time around is that the pro-Israel lobby, AIPAC, and their networks are furious that on TikTok, a pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel, and when I say anti-Israel, anti-Israel voices, are criticizing the genocide. They're criticizing the bombing. So now, people saying, you know, calling for an end of the bombing, you know, calling for a ceasefire or calling for accountability against Israel for killing children, that that's somehow anti-Semitic. There, the definition, you know, that AIPAC applies now to what anti-Semitism is, if you just call for a ceasefire, all of a sudden that's somehow anti-Semitic, that, oh, you're not, you want to, by doing that, somehow you are not holding Hamas accountable. So TikTok now, they have this vote. It hasn't passed in the Senate yet, or the law has not, or the bill, which, by the way, President Biden has said if it comes to his desk, he will sign it. What's different this time around is that TikTok, the majority of the people on TikTok are against the genocide. They're sympathizing with the Palestinians and they're criticizing Israel. And it's something beyond the control of American companies, so they can't just simply shadow ban it. And I remember back in October and November when this trend started to be obvious, groups like the ADL and others, you know, who were trying to accuse TikTok of having an anti-Semitism problem, anti-Jewish problem, they replied and said it's not the algorithm, because they were trying to suggest that somehow TikTok's algorithm is purposely trying to amplify, you know, pro-Palestinian voices and, you know, promote these images. And TikTok replied and said it's not the algorithm. People just happen to be against what Israel is doing. And this is a concern with these social media companies who and tech companies who, when they started out, they wanted to disrupt things. But in reality now, a lot of these social media companies are part of are not much different than the mainstream media, that they're able to control them. There's a level of censorship that's on there, and it's not always for the right reasons. So people can be as hateful as they want against people of color, but if you somehow challenge the status quo, if you challenge imperialism, if you challenge what the U.S. government is supporting, then that becomes a threat. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. I want to hear from you guys about what's your reaction. Has the war in Gaza or the genocide in Gaza changed your perspective on Israel? Senator Schumer last week on the Senate floor talked about his concern and his worry. He's speaking out and against the Netanyahu, specifically against the Netanyahu government and the right-wing extremists that are part of his cabinet, and he was criticizing Netanyahu, and he was concerned, saying that if this continues, Israel will become a pariah state. And in him, in his words, Israel will not be able to survive if it becomes a pariah state. Do you think Israel has become a pariah state? And how does the United States, and how can the United States government continue to justify supporting, funding, and arming a pariah state that's killing hundreds of people on a daily basis, that has killed something like 14,000 children, that has killed in a total something like 35,000 people, civilians, in a very short amount of time, and injured over 75,000 people? You're talking about over 100,000 casualties in a very small strip of land to a people that are basically trapped between walls and a sea in what people have described before as the world's largest open-air concentration camp. They don't have tanks, the Palestinians. They don't have fighter jets. They don't have the Iron Dome. They literally have no protection whatsoever. And now they're basically in tents. Yet there are militant groups there that have small arms that they use to fire, shoulder-held weapons of the sorts, and what they call rockets, but they're just basically glorified fireworks. I'm not sure what the actual death count is from these Hamas rockets. It's not very high. And if you've seen them, Google some of the images and the damage that they're creating. It's not a lot of damage. Life is going on as usual within Israel. People are going to the beach. People are going to nightclubs. But repeatedly, the United States, politician after politician, continue to justify the murder of so many tens of thousands of people and the starvation, including 13,000 children, and the starvation. I mean, now there's a famine happening, especially in the north of Gaza, famine at a catastrophe level. Children are dying now in Gaza because of malnutrition. This is happening in 2024, and it's happening because of our tax dollars. We're funding this war. We're paying for this war. It's unbelievable that this is not World War II. This is not 1940 Germany. This is not what was happening. This is happening now in 2024. They don't have the weapons to defend themselves. They don't have the tanks. Somebody had described it before. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. The goal is really clear if anyone is paying attention. It's ethnic cleansing in the form of genocide and depopulating that strip and getting the people off their land. Jared Kushner, President Donald Trump's son-in-law, who was part of his administration, in an interview just this week, said that the Palestinians should be moved off that land. That's a really prime waterfront, you know, valuable waterfront property that needs to be developed. This is how they look at this. This is what they're working towards. And it's really disturbing. I'm going to take some phone calls because I did say that we will do that. So our phone number is 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. You can also email me live at dj@wmnf.org. dj@wmnf.org. Do you think Israel is now a pariah state that should be cut off and funding should be cut off to it from the United States? And when is that going to happen? Because right now in Washington, very few members of Congress are calling for conditioning aid. Bernie Sanders is one of the people, one of the senators that's actually saying that, you know, stop sending weapons, stop arming Israel. Chris Van Hollen just joined that call to say stop sending offensive weapons, because those weapons are going to be used to kill innocent civilians. This is very disturbing. It makes our government complicit in what's happening there. So I'm going to go to Jack in Dover. Jack, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Sure. I feel horrible. I don't think that anybody could watch TV last night and see, you know, the young little girl standing in rubble after the hospital got bombed, not have a heartfelt, just want to cry, break down and cry. But the only thing that I can use, the only tools that I have in my toolbox, is what I've learned by being an American. And I ask myself, you know, where is their underground railroad? I don't believe that everybody in Israel hates all of the Palestinians. And how can they not, you know, set something up so that these people can raise their hands, raise a white flag, say we surrender, and be taken out of there to safety? I just can't understand it. But to blame America and to blame our president, I mean, I don't think that we're to blame for Hamas. And I don't think that anybody would want there to be someone in their neighborhood like Hamas. You know,
what happens if you had a gang in your neighborhood?
Well, there are gangs everywhere.
Yeah, but how does the police deal with it? Do they bomb the whole neighborhood?
No, and I'm not saying that that's what they should have done, but I'm saying that when they had an opportunity to surrender, when these people had an opportunity to get out of there...
I'm going to challenge you on this. When you say they had the opportunity to get out of there, there's nowhere to go. Where can they go?
Why can't they go to Israel? Why can't they just say...
Okay, that's just... You should Google that. Why are if they can go to Israel? Everything... Gaza is surrounded by 20-foot walls and a fence, security fence, and no one can approach the fence. Anyone does will get shot and killed. They can't go into Israel. They can't leave that land. They are basically have been there under siege since 2006.
Well, with all these doctors that I've been listening to today,
yeah,
that are going over there and they're making a choice to try to do their job, even though they don't have the equipment, they're saying themselves that they're doing inappropriate medical care because they don't have what they need, and that somehow that's better. If they did that here in America, there would be lawsuits going left and right. Why can't those doctors go over there and take these people out of there?
They're not allowed. Those doctors are allowed to go in. The borders are sealed. They will not let anyone from Gaza, if you're Palestinian, to leave.
If President Biden can do anything, then if what you're saying is true, because I'm just
yeah, go Google that. They cannot leave. The borders are shut. They cannot leave. But on top of that, even if they could leave, let's say you're living in your home, and the government comes and says, "If you don't leave your home, we're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you." So is it your fault if you decide to stay and be with your land and be with your home? Or is it the government's fault for trying to kill you?
And again, the only thing that I can fall back on is the American Negro race. That when we had our Civil War and when they were caught in the same situation, they didn't pick up arms and they didn't fight. Martin Luther King, even through the...
Civil War, they didn't fight? What are you talking about? Nobody fought in the Civil War?
The black people didn't arm themselves and fight against the tyranny. They were peaceful. They just peacefully surrendered. They went up north. They found an underground railroad.
Yeah, I think you're really simplifying what happened. That's not what happened. And, you know, the rights to black people were not just handed to them. And I don't think it's the same situation. But thanks for calling in, Jack. Sarah from Tampa, do you think Israel is now a pariah state? And should they be cut off from getting American aid? You're on the air now.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
I do. I think that Israel, at least in my eyes, has been a pariah state for a very, very, very long time. And we are, as the United States, as well, because we are complicit, as we have been complicit for the 100 years that this has been going on. And the one thing that I wanted to say to you that I find really frustrating about all the coverage, the invasion upon Rafah is going on as we speak.
Mm.
It's not pending. Netanyahu is doing his invasion. And the other thing is, you know, the conversation about, well, you know, Gaza's on the verge of famine. They're not on the verge of famine. They are in famine. I'm a retired neonatal nurse practitioner. And when I see those pictures of those little babies in incubators, those babies are starving. They are dying. You can look at their legs. You can look at their little emaciated bodies. They're dying. And the other thing, just in closing, is that my sense is none of the politicians in this country are going to come out against Israel because they are all terrified of AIPAC. Look what AIPAC did to Nina Turner when she ran for the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
For Andy Levin, both of them had a more nuanced perspective on the situation in the Middle East. AIPAC took them out. And AIPAC has promised to do everything that they can to get rid of Rashida Tlaib, Omar, and the squad.
Right. So do you think, how is it that you, Sarah, see what's happening and recognize it for what it is, but other Americans are not? For example, I got an email saying, you know, you guys keep calling this a genocide and they are murdering women and children, but Hamas started the murdering of innocent civilians and taking them hostage, and Israel is just fighting back. So how is it that people see it that way and then you see it differently, and, you know, we're all in the same country?
I think it's because of the propaganda. We have been spoon-fed what Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel leaders before have wanted us to believe. And, you know, you heard Ta-Nehisi Coates talking about going over to Gaza a few years ago, and he came back and he said, how could I not have known this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know it because Israel is covering it all up. People don't want to know it. And, you know, I've been interested in this for a long, long time with a broken heart, because I look at different outlets. I've been watching Al Jazeera, and I think Al Jazeera should be required viewing for everybody in this country, including Joe Biden.
Yeah, he's been a disappointment, obviously, on this, that he just continues to not see the writing on the wall, even jeopardizing his own reelection. And just standing with this right-wing Netanyahu government that's murdering and killing women and children, and that will be his legacy. I mean, I don't know if he just...
The other thing about Biden is, Biden is an admitted, he has said it, he's a Zionist.
Right.
He's a Zionist. And, you know, the one thing that I'm really struggling with is how I'm going to vote, because I don't support Biden. Even if this weren't going on in Gaza, I don't support him.
Mm-hmm.
But if Donald Trump is president, and I think this is where Benjamin Netanyahu sits right now, he's like, you know, nobody can touch me. Joe Biden is not going to take me on going into an election. And if he loses the election, Donald Trump is going to tell me, finish it off and let my son and my company come in and develop Gaza for the Israelis.
All so with our tax dollars. And this is the problem with our, two-party system. When it comes to this, that they don't have the interest and they don't represent the people. But some people are saying, well, regardless, Joe Biden needs to be taught a lesson, and future presidents and the Democratic Party itself needs to get back to its roots. They would, and they won't realize that unless they, are defeated, and it needs to be restructured somehow. Otherwise, more of this will continue to happen in the future.
How is it going to get restructured with fascism? Because that's what we'll have with Donald Trump. There's going to be no restructuring of anything except...
Well, Donald Trump, I mean, I'm against Donald Trump. But no, Donald Trump came before and we survived, didn't we? I mean, he would only have 4 more years. So you think that in those 4 years, they're going to, dismantle the whole country?
I do. I think they...
And all the institutions are going to allow it? I don't know.
He's got the Supreme Court.
Yeah, but I mean, that would lead to some sort of civil war, I think, in this country. I don't think the whole country is just going to sit back. I mean, people are talking about that kind of stuff also, so which is disturbing.
I just want to finish by thanking you so much for your coverage.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job. And the answer, once again, to your question is yes.
Okay.
Israel is a pariah, and we are holding hands and jumping off into the same state of pariah with them.
Thank you, Sarah, for calling in and for your support. Gemini in Valrico, my question is Israel now a pariah state, and should the United States cut off aid to Israel? You're on the air now. Go ahead.
Thank you. First off, I wanted to acknowledge Ramadan. Definitely not a happy holiday, but I wanted to acknowledge it.
Thank you.
And yes, I do think Israel is a pariah state. I think from its inception after World War II, that's been its purpose is to as a tool of colonization. I know with the previous caller, you were talking about about information and how information is just very different from your average American versus people that are actually see what's going on, because there's definitely a very big disconnect between what's being shown by corporate media and what you can find from first person experiences on social media platforms like Instagram or TikTok. Mm-hmm. There's the very few journalists that are left from Palestine and from the region, Motaz, Azeza, and Plestia, and Bissan. They're all.
These are individual social journalists or citizen journalists that are popular on Instagram and social media outlets that you're referring to, right?
Yes.
How did you come to learn about them?
Through TikTok.
Okay. So did you identify? I mean, their influence and their reach has actually been fascinating. Mm-hmm. That people actually identify and care. I remember when Mu'tez was still in Gaza, people, when they didn't hear from him or see any posts for a while, they are worried. Did he die? And he's
Every time there was an internet outage, mm-hmm. I think right now there's an eSIM shortage. So we're hearing less and less from the people that are there, which is really scary because then, anything can happen and we won't be informed and we can't rely on, American media to tell us the truth.
Right. So, okay, go ahead. You were continuing to say something about that's where you're getting your information.
Yeah. TikTok is where a lot of this information is. It's where a lot of you go outside, you film something, and you can upload it. So people are doing that all over the world, in Palestine, in Congo, in in Sudan, and we see all these things. And of course, it relies on the fact that they have access to it. But the information is there.
All right. Okay, well, thank you for calling in and continue listening. Okay, so our phone number is 813-239-9663. I'm sorry if you're holding for a while. We'll get to you. 813-239-9663. And our you can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. If you get dropped off, call us back. Steve writes, he says, great show. Your patience is extraordinary. Thank you, Steve. How can anyone capable of dialing a phone not know that Gaza is a war zone that non-combatants cannot leave? Children dying in parents' arms in the parking lot of a bombed-out hospital. No homes to go to. Keep up the commentary and questions to educate rather than pontificate. Thank you, Tampa Mac. And Ronald writes, none of those events and wars would have happened if Trump was still president. The world sees the weakness and corruption in Biden and his administration. So they're lashing out because they know that there will be no consequences. Biden has promoted and encouraged the invasion of the U.S. He is a traitor and a complete failure as a president. This is what Ronald sent in. Interesting. That Ronald would have that perspective. And that's something you often hear from pro, you know, Trump supporters, that president is corrupt and he's weak. And if Trump was there, none of this would happen. I don't know. I'm not sure, because Trump is not against the Gaza war. He's saying that it would have been done differently. Our phone number again is 813-239-9663. Either way, thanks for messaging. Ronald seems to be somebody who will, you know, be voting for Trump this election. But many people within the Democratic Party are actually concerned that Biden may lose this election, especially because his Democratic base, especially young people who would be critical in his reelection, are don't approve and don't agree and are angry of his handling of what's been happening in Gaza, and believe that it's a type of genocide. Alan in Tampa, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What did you say from Tampa?
I said Alan. Are you Alan?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
So let me please start by saying that I'm very upset about what's happening in Gaza. I realize what you're saying is largely true, and it's horrible. On a humanitarian basis, it is horrible. All right, I don't agree with that Trump could have avoided this. I think Trump would be worse, but that's a separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it is horrible. A lot of people are very opposed to Netanyahu. I think our government is finally speaking out how opposed to Netanyahu they are. And I hope that behind doors it's more pronounced, more forceful. But I also want to point out that there's two sides to each story, and there are two sides to this. All right, there have been attacks on Israel forever. There have been terrorist attacks all around the world in the name of Islam, which is not to say anything bad about Islam, but that speaks poorly. That faction of people that carry out these actions do not endear anybody. That is not good publicity. And what happened here was that there were 1,200 and some odd innocent people ripped out of their homes, sexually abused, taken hostage. And why on earth, if peace is sought, would they still hold the hostages? Why do they still have hostages? Who takes hostages?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, they did say, I mean, I don't speak for them, but they did say that they took the hostages so they can exchange them for the 10,000 Palestinian prisoners that have been, that are in Israeli jails, that they wanted to do a hostage exchange.
Israeli jails because of all the rocket attacks and bombings that have occurred over the years.
No. There's been reports. There's been reports, many reports, and this is by Human Rights Watch and the most Amnesty International, that thousands of the people in Israeli prisons were taken without any type of due process. They don't have any courts. Some of them, of course, are criminals. Some of them are violent, but many of them are even children. So
I owe it to you and to me for me to Google that, and
yeah,
I promise
look
you
it up.
Will.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will tell you this, over many, many years, what has happened often is that people who are terroristic or sympathize with terrorists mm-hmm. will hide and harbor a terrorist in their home to keep them from getting caught. And then when that home is bombed, they want revenge.
Do you believe that Israel is acting in a terrorist way in Gaza?
Right now, yes, I do. I think there's two...
And do you think the people that are being bombed in Gaza now will want to retaliate in the future?
Yes, I think they will.
Okay, so it's basically a cycle that's been happening. It didn't start. The thing is, you're trying to say...
But what you're asking, is Israel a pariah state? Yes. Are the Gaza... Is Hamas a pariah entity? Yes.
So then now these people... The only people getting killed right now... In the thousands, tens of thousands, are the Palestinians that are trapped there. It's not Israelis.
Hamas is still being allowed to operate out of that hospital.
There is no proof of that. I mean, I don't know. You keep saying that, but
And you know what? We could read one television station or another and get one line of BS or another.
No, you could look it up. It's two or 3 months ago, they went in. They said that Hamas has a bunker under the Al-Shifa hospital. They went in. They never found any bunkers. It became a laughing stock of people.
I think you're getting one side of news. Whether it's not even your fault, because all we have access to is one side or the other.
I follow the news everywhere.
There's no Walker Cronkite anymore. It's all one side or the other. This is a very emotionally charged situation. It's a horrible situation, but they're all crazy.
The facts are there. The tens of thousands of people that are killed on a daily basis... are Palestinians in Gaza. Okay. Many of them are children. There are no one is dying right now or getting killed in Israel.
It's inexcusable what's happening here now. Yeah. I am not trying to justify.
So it should stop.
What happened on October 7th was the fuse that lit this fire.
No, well, you're ignoring the other fuses that have continued to happen for decades.
Well, let's not ignore all the fuses. It's exactly right. And they're on both sides of this coin.
Okay, so what is your final point? Because I want to take to the next caller.
Nothing. I just wish you would report it on a two-sided basis. There's crazy people on both sides. Let these hostages go. If they came forward and said, "Okay, fine, we'll let them go."
Let's say they let the hostages go. Do you believe Netanyahu would just leave them alone and stop the bombing?
I think Netanyahu needs to be shot, but I think the rest of the people in that government...
They're going
to
go and finish the job, and they're going to get rid of all those people off that land. I think they're still holding those hostages to guarantee that they get some sort of leverage so they can have a final ceasefire.
I don't see them at the table with it.
They can't go to the table. They've been meeting in Paris and Cairo and other places through intermediaries.
But they won't yield on that point. There's two stubborn parties.
I think they agreed to release all the hostages if there's a final deal, not a six-week pause.
For like 10,000 people, many of whom are criminals. They want everybody out, and it's not going to work that way.
Okay, thank you for calling, Alan. Interesting, you know, the perspectives that people have. Peter writes in, usually a war of this magnitude is about fighting communism or getting rid of a dictator or the violent revolution in a country, and then a war ensues. How would we recognize this war? Hatred against hatred? That's what Pete wrote from Indian Shores. Okay, I'm going to go to Jennifer in Spring Hill. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi. Well, one of the things that I think that guys is so full of propaganda. That is what is usually been, you know, the corporate media, the AIPAC-controlled media. I mean, because we have money in elections and we have our media controlled by money, and both parties, the Republicans and Democrats, are pro-Israel, letting them have their way.
Sorry, Jennifer, your voice is breaking up. Hello, Jennifer. Okay, I'm going to maybe put you on hold, and if your phone gets fixed, we'll get back to you. So I got a text message. By the way, our phone number is 813-239-9663, and you can call in live now. Is Israel a pariah state? Should the United States stop funding them? I'm celebrating Ramadan, and Ramadan is a day where we fast from all daylight hours from food, you know, from eating and drinking. And also, we have to actually avoid getting into arguments and fights and be kind to others. So sometimes callers are testing my patience with some of the commentary, but I have to respond in kindness. Well, with real kindness, not with anger. So I'm working on that. Bruce writes and says from Winter Haven, hi there, Ahmed. All I can say is, quote, how ignorant are some people? Are we that hopeless? That's his message. I guess he's referring to some of the callers. I'm not sure that, you know, it's been some interesting calls. I'm going to go to Tina, who's calling from Newport Richie. And if you want to join them, call us at 813-239-9663. Tina, go ahead. Tina, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm great.
I just wanted to make a comment. I'm not particular about any religion or against any religion, but and I have visited Dachau from World War II and seen the horror there from the concentration camp. And I feel like now Israel was justified its initial response to the hostage attack.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, a lot of people are being slaughtered, and it feels like they are doing exactly what was done to them in the Holocaust to the Palestinians. And I think a lot of people feel that in their hearts and know it's wrong. And that's the protest. It's not really about a government or a religion. It's just everyone knows it's not right to just slaughter people and try to take the land. And I can understand the Israelis not feeling safe. But these people, other people can't defend themselves. And we were attacked on 9/11, and we didn't turn around and attack another country. And we found out where it came from. So, you know, I think I just wanted to make that point.
Thank you, Tina. I just want to correct something, though. After 9/11, okay. the United States did attack Afghanistan, and they stayed there for 20 years attacking it. And they also attacked Iraq and other countries in the name of, you know, fighting the war on terrorism. Of course, after 20 years of being in Afghanistan, the United States, after 20 years and billions of dollars that were spent, some say over a trillion, the United States handed power back to the very same people they took it from, which was the Taliban. So really, what did it accomplish? But you make a valid point that a lot of the things and what the images we're seeing out of Gaza today are very similar to images we saw during World War II.
Yes, and I get your point. I just meant like an immediate response.
Back. Right, and well, it wasn't as fierce as what we're seeing now. You know, definitely, and those people did have weapons to fight back. You know, the Taliban and others, they had more weapons. They had tanks. They had other. You know, it wasn't like this. They weren't trapped in some sort of concentration camp strip where no one can escape. And the civilians can get out of the way. The civilians here cannot go anywhere. And they're just being bombed every day, killed. And it's so sad that children in the world can't. And I feel like, especially Europe and Germany's position, because of the collective guilt they have over the Holocaust and what the Nazis did, that they're somehow just giving a green light to the, you know, Israeli government now to do whatever they want, many of which is similar to what was done to their, you know, to people before during World War II. But thank you for calling in, Tina. Of course, we're not comparing the level of violence to the gas chambers of the Holocaust, because those were in the millions. However, some of these tactics of just targeting civilians and targeting them because of, at this point, just because they're Palestinian. I feel like the excuse that they're going after Hamas is just an excuse. If you're going after Hamas, why do you need to bomb schools? Why do you bomb universities? Why do you bomb their museums? Why are you bombing mosques? The excuse that they're using these facilities as human shields is not accurate. You know, all the international investigations have pointed that Hamas is not, you know, launching these attacks from inside the universities. They're not, you know, using, they live, it's a very small area of land. There's nowhere to go. But instead of having, you know, face-to-face combat, they're just bombing them and shelling them from a distance and destroying everything. When you've basically attacked all these hospitals, it becomes very clear what your intention is, that you want to destroy all facilities and infrastructure that sustains life and sustains education and sustains the future. Jennifer, I think, called back in. I want her to finish her comment. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, hi. I don't know where I got cut off accidentally, but I apologize if it was me. But anyway, I was just saying, as a Green Party member, I've been following this for over 20 years. I know people that have been, you know, Human Shield, that have come here from United States to Gaza and to the West Bank.
What do they do when they go there as Human Shields? Can you explain
that?
They
hang out. They just sort of, you know, try to, I mean, it's just like Rachel Corrie, that story 21 years ago.
Yeah, some of our listeners may not know Rachel Corrie, but you're describing where Americans will go to Palestine and try to protect, for example, Palestinian homes from being demolished by just sitting in front of it, like doing a sit-in.
Right, and she was killed by an Israeli, a caterpillar earth mover that
That rode over her. Yeah, Rachel, she was a young activist from America. Yeah,
from Washington State.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, the whole thing is that this has been something that I've been aware of, and Green's been aware of, and our candidate Jill Stein will be, if she wins, she's going to be defunding Israel, because they don't need the $3.8 billion. We need this money here, for one thing, and we don't need to be creating, you know, massacre and mayhem. And, I mean, it was very interesting. I think the election is going to be very interesting this year, because we have both parties are pro-Israel. Both parties are controlled by corporate interests, by AIPAC, by, you know, there's, you know, like Jared Kushner was on saying, oh, this is great. He's a realtor. And he says, it'll be great to have beachfront property once we get the Gazans out of Gaza. And the Washington Post reported that President Biden knew that Israel was indiscriminately bombing in Palestine since October 27th. So, I mean, both parties are in deep, and so is RFK. They're beholding to the AIPAC and to people that, you know, billionaires that have a lot of money. And these billionaires are going to be fighting it out, see who gets to win. It's like a game to them. And
Are there any billionaires that are against Israel and for Palestine? It seems like all the billionaires are stacked on the Israeli side.
Well, all the billionaires, basically, I guess, of the West. I mean, because it looks like China, it looks like the BRICS. I mean, I was in Bolivia the end of last November, and we were at the La Paz embassy for Venezuela, and they had a Palestinian ambassador there. They 140 some countries in the world they recognize Palestinians as a state, and they have ambassadors. So anyway, Bolivia had pulled their diplomats out for Israel, and they were one of the first to do that. And the Venezuelan, the Colombian, and the Cuban and the Palestinian ambassadors were at this event. It was a book called Palestina. It's written in Spanish, but it was being promoted that night, and it was really a compelling thing. I mean, it's just the rest of the world is looking at this going, mm-mm, you know, this is massacre. This is, you know, they're calling for what it is, and they're not propagandized. And South Africa, they know what apartheid is.
Right, they know, and they took their case to the International Court of Justice.
Yes.
But despite all that, the bombings continue, and it seems like they're ignoring all those international institutions that can't seem to resolve this. So,
So people that think, oh, I'll vote for Trump because he's different, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, just because there wasn't a war per se, there was some going on because he wasn't the one that got us out of Afghanistan. And he didn't like the way Joe Biden did it. I mean, it's like people really need to pay attention more that, you know, what the real thing that is going on. And we're being lied to by both parties.
Okay. Well, I'm out of time, Jennifer.
You know, we do have a choice.
Yes. Thank you so much. We'll talk about this more in the future. Thanks for calling in. This is WMNF Tampa, and the scoop from WMNF will be on next. And have a great weekend. Keep paying attention to what's happening in Gaza and pray for the people there. Ramadan Mubarak to all my Muslim listeners out there. Wish your Muslim neighbors and friends a Ramadan Mubarak. I'll see you same time, same place next Thursday at noon here at WMNF. Have a great weekend.